Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and No Fritz. Jack celebrating the birth of his second child.
Come on, man.
Wow. Well, what am I going to do?
Listen, he better be lucky that we love,
take shots.
He better be lucky we love Gio, because we'd be a lot harder on him right now.
About a million times harder. We're at Chickie's. We are at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. The Brandon Graham Show coming up at 6, and then the Players Lounge with IQ and Elliot. And this week's guest, Tanner McKee. Tanner McKee doing a great job yesterday. Speaking of Tanner McKee, David and Drexel Hill would prefer Pickett to be the. What's up, David?
Oh, God.
Hey, listen, it makes me sick listening to people talk about this backup quarterback. I mean, I haven't even heard nothing that made me this mad since they talked so bad about Jalen Hurts in the beginning of the season. Yes. Ike, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts threw for two touchdowns, an interception, and we won the game. And all the callers did was say he stunk and we can't win with turnovers. The
Which
backup
game was this?
Quarterback comes in the game and he throws for a touchdown and an interception and we lose the game. And they say he was pretty good.
When was this?
It blows my mind. About a lot of fans calling, talking this crazy stuff, and some hosts. How about this? The backup quarterback got 14 touchdowns in his career and 14 interceptions. And we want him to lead us.
Are you talking about Kenny Pickett?
Playoff game? Kenny Pickett, yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. That's why I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, I figured it out when you said 14 touchdowns.
I'm sorry, touchdowns, man. Yeah. You know,
Who is saying they want Kenny Pickett over Jalen Hurts? Nobody's saying that.
A lot of people.
Who?
A lot of people ain't calling. I'm talking about callers.
No. I don't think anybody's.
Pickett over our other backup. Let me ask you this. With the third string quarterback, McKee, was his last name?
Tanner McKee.
McKee, yeah.
Tanner McKee. I would easily take him over this other quarterback that threw for 14 interceptions and only got 14 touchdowns in his career. That's
crazy.
Your
thing is you don't like Kenny Pickett. I got you. I see what you're saying.
I don't like his stats. Like when we judge Jalen and he threw for two, and everybody said we can't even win with a quarterback that threw for two interceptions.
Yeah, well.
But the standard changed.
I don't know what to say to this. I don't know.
I think people were impressed with how Pickett played for a backup. This thing where you're saying that people are
game.
Picking. Hold up. David, hold up. Just 1 second here. The people you're talking about who would prefer Pickett to Hurts is a very, very small minority. I think what people did see over the last couple of weeks is two quarterbacks who are better at getting the ball out quickly and throwing with anticipation than Jalen is. That's a fact. But most people do believe that Jalen Hurts gives them a better chance to win than Kenny Pickett or Tanner McKee. I think what a lot of people do see, though, in the passing game, when you have quarterbacks who are primarily throwers, is seeing what the possibility is if Hurts were better at those things, what the offense could look like. But I think generally most everyone, understands that Hurts gives them a better chance to win than Pickett or McKee. Now, as far as Pickett or McKee, I'd rather have a guy who has had a lot more NFL reps as my backup going into a playoff game than Tanner McKee. I think Tanner McKee could be a very good quarterback, you know, but I don't want a guy whose only start has come in a meaningless game that the other team was trying to lose in the final game of the season.
Hey, Spike, last thing.
Yes.
When A.J. Brown set that passing record and Jalen was throwing to him 125 yards a game, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Jalen averaged like 300 yards. I'm like, well, who was he throwing to? Because A.J. only got 120. Who did all the other yards?
He wasn't averaging 300 yards a game ever.
Look it up. He averaged 297.
No, he didn't.
He's talking about the middle of last year.
Yeah, maybe in a few games, but not for a season. He did.
No, I'm talking about
AJ. He's talking about that stretch when AJ set the record for consecutive 125-yard games. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying there, David. Yeah, because that was a stretch where they beat Miami and Buffalo and Dallas. It was last year when AJ set that record last year. He set that record last year.
And then in closing,
yeah.
The backup quarterback got to throw for 40-something times in the game. He should have had a little better stat than Jalen passing.
Well, the surprise thing is they let him throw the ball
41. Let me ask you this, David. Why do you think they let him throw the ball 41 times as opposed to Jalen, who throws the ball 20 times?
Because they kept Barkley out of the game, and they was not into the running game that we won all these games this year. We still won the game, which
okay,
was great.
So the week before when Pickett threw the ball all those times, why did Pickett throw the ball all those times?
They didn't run as much, didn't they? Didn't Barkley sit down?
No, he was playing into the fourth quarter.
That was the Cowboys game.
Yeah. I appreciate the call, David. I understand the – there's like – I understand why people who love Hurts are defensive over this, but I really don't think – and maybe you've heard something different than I have. Mm-hmm. I really don't think there has been a significant group of people saying that they would rather have Kenny Pickett start the game than Jalen Hurts or Tanner McKee.
Other than Kenny Pickett's family, maybe. No, I don't see why anybody would say
that. I don't hear hosts saying that. I don't hear callers saying that. I do hear hosts and callers saying – that those guys did a good job passing the ball,
sure.
Which they did.
Sure.
And that has been a part of the Eagles' offense that has lagged behind this year. I understand that, but I don't think anybody, even me, who right. I'm not a super, you know, I'm not a, sure. a huge fan of Hurts as a QB, mm-hmm. would not even think about starting Kenny Pickett or Tanner McKee over Jalen Hurts.
You know what happens, man. The guy misses a couple games, and then you go out there and you're watching other quarterbacks play. People start to envision, like, I wonder what the offense could look like with him throwing the ball more. And here's what I'll say to those people. I don't know, because you got to look at the competition. Dallas last week and then the Giants this week. I don't know how much the Giants were showing defensively to try to shut Tanner McKee down yesterday, right? Like, you got to at least admit when Jalen's in there and he's with a starting offense, he's getting a totally different style of defense being played
absolutely.
Than what those guys saw the last
absolutely.
2 weeks.
I think all you see out of Pickett yesterday is physical tools.
Yeah.
You see his ability to throw the ball. And he was going against a team that didn't care very much. He was also throwing to mostly backups as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's impossible to look at McKee yesterday and go, oh, that – you have to look at that guy and go, oh, he can throw the ball. Like, he can throw the ball.
Yeah.
All right. Your call is 215-592-9494. Coming up shortly, Nick Sirianni's game after press conference, the first press conference of playoff week as the Eagles play the Packers on Sunday, 4:30. Mm-hmm. You can hear it on WIP. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. You can enjoy all the Eagles playoff action at the official sports bar of the Eagles, Chickies and Pete's, online, chickiesandpete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Yay. Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Fritzy off this week as he celebrates the birth of his second son.
Yeah.
Jack Jr. Nah, he didn't
Jack
name
Jr. Jack Jr.
We're at Chickies in South Philly. Brandon Graham Show will be here at 6, as is every Monday, and the Players Lounge coming up at 7 with Ike and Hugh and Elliot, and this week's guest, Tanner McKee. We will bring you the Nick Sirianni press conference soon enough. It's coming up very soon, the coaches' press conference sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. 215-592. 94-94. Mark in Hatfield. You're on WIP. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, hey, great. Thanks for having me on. Just want to make 2 points real quick. First about the Packers and then about how Saquon can get into the Hall of Fame. First, offensively, with no Jair Alexander in the defensive secondary for the Packers, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are going to have a big day. And once we get that passing game going, that opens up the running game and Saquon's going to take over. So I don't see any problem getting our offense moving. Of course, Jalen's health is a big factor.
Yeah, Mark, I think the Eagles have tried that. I mean, it seems like what they usually try is to pass early to open things up for Saquon. They have had trouble passing the ball early. Even Pickett, who I thought passed the ball well in his start, you know, did not have it early. So I agree with you. That is the goal. I'm curious to see whether they're able to accomplish that goal, because I do. Oh, we're going to put you on hold, Mark. Here is the Nick Sirianni press conference.
Yeah, Nick, I know you wanted to get Dallas some reps there in the last game, but what does he bring to the run game when you get him back?
Yeah, physical blocker. It does the things that you need your tight end to do, being able to hold the point, being on the front side, very athletic on the back side. Just able to do a lot of different things and be multiple. You can be multiple in your schemes with him in there. And so that's what makes, Dallas. Obviously Dallas is very a big playmaker when the ball's in his hands. We saw that, the return of him yesterday. But what makes him a complete tight end is his ability to block and all the different schemes that he can do. So that's big to get him back for both the run and the pass game.
We'll go to Chris and then Brooks.
Afternoon, Nick. And a lot of guys in the locker room said that they saw that the Packers are a different team than they were toward the end of the season as opposed to early in the season. As you guys are developing this game plan, what do you see that's different from the Packers?
Yeah, still obviously early on in our stages of scouting them, but people, teams develop and teams, from game one to game, where we are now, 18, everyone's a different team. Some teams have different players because of injuries, schemes. You start to get used to what you're good at, what you're not good at. So everybody is in a different mode than they were, week one. Now, obviously, there's things that are staples that are good for, have been good for them, that have been good for us, that remain the same. But, there's a lot of changes and a lot of differences. I just see a really, at the end of the day, though, I see a really well-coached, fundamentally sound football team, and with a lot of really good football players, a lot of really solid football players on that roster. It's a really good football team that we're playing here on Sunday.
We'll go to Brooks and then Dave.
Kind of following up about that, they were the first to see your offense with Saquon. How much do you feel like they know who you are? And, how much do you think towards Saquon that, they're prepared for on the second go-around?
Yeah, again, team's different from when we played, week one till now. A lot of things have changed. A lot of things, both teams. So I can't answer what they think there. I know they'll be paying attention to Saquon like everybody else that we play pays attention to him. So again, got a lot of respect for how they've coached their defense. A lot of good guys out there. Number 52 is outstanding player. 93. They got players at number 7. They got players at every level. 25 is a playmaker. Xavier McKinney, obviously we know him well. Big time playmaker who can take the football away. Who's done a good job of that against us. And so, they got some special guys on that, and I think they're really well coached.
We'll go to Dave and then Martin.
Hey, Nick, with the way Tanner's played the last couple of weeks and with Kenny's injury, any thought to making Tanner the backup as you enter the playoffs?
I got a lot of confidence in both the guys. I think, when Kenny's had to play, he's played really well. When Tanner's had to play, he's played really well. And so, we got a really good room. Obviously, Jalen has had an outstanding season. So we just have a great room. Credit to Howie and his staff of getting these guys in here, and then just a great job by these guys and taking advantage of their opportunities, and great job by Kellen, Kevin, Doug, helping these guys develop. And so we feel really, really good about the room of where we are.
We'll go to Martin and then John.
Hey, Nick. A little bit along those lines. Obviously you played a lot of backups, reserves yesterday and everything. Did any of them stand out? And in particular, a guy like Jahan Dotson, who's been a third wide receiver this year, hasn't really gotten a lot of targets. Does a game like this help him going into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think anytime you have you build on your performances. And really, we really pride ourselves in that we're going to get better from every performance that we have, win, lose, play good, play bad. Anytime you go out and play a solid game and play well, it's going to give you some confidence to move on to the next one. And so Jahan played really good, played a really good game, was good in and out of the breaks, caught the ball really clean, had some moments with the ball in his hands on yards after the catch. I think one thing that we've really enjoyed about Jahan is that, he's he came in here and just, you know, fit right in with the rest of the guys, just playing tough and playing physical. He's scrappy out there, and he's been scrappy since the, you know, since the day he's got here. Even when he's not, he's affecting the game even when he's not touching the football. So it's good to see him get his hands on the ball yesterday and do the things that he could do yesterday. That was exciting to see, and I know we're going to need him to make plays throughout the postseason. And you know, this will be a big game for all of us this weekend.
Go to John and then Ruben.
Afternoon, Nick. Now that you're past week 18, a lot of people say, hey, treat it like a preseason game, but you don't have 90 guys. So some got to rest, some had to dress, some had to play. Now that you're past it, how do you think the guys handled that, especially the ones that did have to play?
Yeah, I think they took advantage of their opportunity to play to get better. Again, you couldn't rest everybody. You know, that's just the way, again, like you said, you don't have 90 guys on the team to be able to do that. I thought Jordan Davis, you know, went out and played one of his best games that he's had here as an Eagle. He was outstanding. You know, I think there was a lot of guys that had really outstanding, like Oren Burks had 17 tackles. I mean, that's incredible. You know, Sydney made a huge play that sealed the game. Isaiah had a huge return. You know, all those different things. We got a lot of contributions from a lot of different. I thought the offensive line played great. You know, all those guys across the whole line, Jack Driscoll, DK, you know, had some really good performances. And we know Tanner played a really solid game. And so you got a lot of performances from a lot of different guys. And as you see, the guys I named were a lot of different, you know, some were backups, some are rotational players, some are starters, all those guys that I just mentioned. And so it took everybody's contribution, and everybody put everything they had into that game to get get ourselves that win and to play to our standard of how we want to play football. So, you know, Milton Williams played really good. Like, just a lot of different guys that have different roles on this football team that went out and busted their butts. I think that says a lot about our guys.
I'll go to Ruben and then Zach.
Hey, Nick. I was wondering if you could kind of outline some of the things Vic was able to do this year to turn the defense around with a lot of new pieces, a lot of guys who hadn't played before, rookies, guys at new positions, and it all came together pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think Vic just he works his butt off and is constantly trying to find new ways to help, you know, his defensive scheme get better. And then, you know, I think he just does such a good job of holding everybody to, you know, accountable to, you know, how he wants it to look. He's got a great vision of how he wants it to look and how he sees it. He holds people accountable to that, and I think he calls a great game. I think he goes in there and he's got so much experience calling games. He's just got a great feel for it. And I love that, you know, we talk about scheme, but then Vic's so obsessed too with the fundamentals of how you tackle, how you get off blocks. I love his tackling meeting on Saturday nights where he's going over all the, you know, different ways that these guys run the football, how we're going to have to tackle the things that can present problems, and goes through all that detail there. Just a ton of experience and great detailed coach that has had a lot of success in this league. And obviously we've had a lot of success this year, and he's just done a great job of coaching these guys, coaching the coaches on our staff and coaching the guys. And, you know, it's been a great group effort on that defensive side of the football.
Thank you.
We'll go to Zach and then Bo.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. I'll ask the Jalen question today. As you put the game plan together, is it with the intention of Jalen as the starting quarterback this weekend?
Yeah, I have no new information for you guys. Like I said yesterday, he's progressing through the protocol.
Are you able to say if he's in the building today?
I got no new info for you guys here today. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Nick.
We have time for two more, so we'll go to Bo and then Olivia.
Hey, Nick, I'm just curious why you went to Braden on kickoffs yesterday after Jake the week prior.
Yeah, every situation calls for something different, you know, and as you saw, Jake kicked off a couple as well. And so there's a lot of different factors that go into it. Haven't decided who was doing it and, you know, in the playoffs against Green Bay. We'll see, and everything will be accounted for. I think at the end of the day, though, we have two guys that we feel are very capable. Obviously, don't ever want a penalty. I believe that was our only penalty of the day yesterday. I was kind of hoping we didn't have any penalties yesterday. But a lot of confidence in both guys, but we can't make that mistake of kicking it out of bounds there.
We'll end with Olivia here.
Hey, Nick, this is, of course, your fourth trip to the postseason with the Eagles as head coach. I'm curious, what, if anything, did you learn from your other three trips that that you'll use to inform the way that you approach this upcoming postseason trip, whether, you know, it's for things that you like that you did in the past or things that maybe you learned from that you didn't like as much?
Sure. I think after every situation you go through, you make notes and you try to go through what you did well, what you didn't do well. I think at the end of the day, is the higher the stakes get, you know, as we get into single elimination football, the more you got to stay committed to the things you've done on a daily basis to get 14 wins. I think that's been my biggest thing is like, all right, what can you do different here now? Or not, and it's not even different. And it always comes back to what got you here, right? What got you here? What got you 14 wins? That doesn't mean you're not looking to improve on the things that you can do better at. Which is exactly what we're doing and trying to shore up every single thing we possibly can. But what are the core things that got you to this situation? And when everybody's talking about, you know, single elimination football, what happens this? Well, what happens in 3 weeks if you do this or that, blah, 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 that we stay committed to completely what we're doing. It's what we've tried to do all year. And that's the point, right, is what's gotten you to the number two seed in the NFC with the NFC East title? You know, stick to those principles. You know, tough, detailed, together, and really, you know, double, triple, quadruple down on those things.
There he is, a very boring, succinct day after press conference from Nick Sirianni. The way you like it,
I love it.
So there's one part in that non-committal Nick Sirianni press conference that I thought was interesting. Well, when they asked him, would you consider having Tanner McKee be the backup in the playoffs over Kenny Pickett? Mm-hmm. And he didn't answer.
Yeah.
He said he's confident in all of them. Do you think – now, obviously, the Pickett ribs thing has to be part of that calculus, I wonder. But let's say the ribs thing is not an issue. Do you really think they would – go into a playoff game with Tanner McKee as the backup?
Well, it sounded like that they wouldn't have a problem if that's what they had to do.
I think they would be fine if they had to do it. I think it would be a strange move if they did it.
So I'm trying to think. Do you have to – I guess you do have to designate somebody to back up.
Yes, because the third quarterback is the emergency quarterback. So once you put in the third guy, the other guys can't come back in. So,
right, right,
so
right,
yeah,
right,
so
right.
They would have to. I think it would be a very big decision because if you're doing that, I also think on some level, I think in their heads, they probably want to trade Kenny Pickett this offseason. Right, try to trade him.
Yeah.
If you're going with McKee over Pickett, you might show your cards a little bit more there, and you may hurt. Now, maybe they don't care about the value of Pickett in a trade. It's not that big a deal to them. But that would be a pretty enormous vote of confidence in McKee, I think, if they do that.
Yeah, and unless you're ready to move on from Pickett, I don't know why you would do it.
Right. He's played one NFL game.
Yeah, and you traded for him.
And you
so, like, you gave up something to get him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd be surprised. The only way I could see it happening is if Kenny Pickett's not healthy.
Right. If he's not healthy, that makes the decision
for
him.
Yeah, if he's not healthy, yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. Pickett or
McKee? Make no mistake, I'm a McKee guy. I want that to be clear.
Yes, we're all McKee guys.
Yes, I'm a McKee guy.
Well, I think throughout the year, the three of us, both you, me, and Jack, have all said that we, even in the preseason.
In the preseason, exactly.
We saw more in the physical tools of Tanner McKee than we saw in Kenny Pickett. However, in an NFL playoff game, I am taking the guy who has played more NFL playoff games. And it's not like Pickett did a good job in the.
Sure he did, yeah. In the Dallas game.
In the Dallas game. I thought he was mostly fine considering the situation against Washington.
He had the one
bad
throw in the Washington game. The, the interception, that's the one bad throw he had.
But overall, he was fine.
Yeah.
If he had come in those two games and looked terrible, I think that would be different. But he certainly looked capable. So I would take the guy who's played NFL games over the guy who hasn't at this point as their backup. All right, 215-592-9494. You confident or nervous going into Sunday's game against Green Bay? And who do you want to see as the backup, Tanner McKee or Kenny Pickett? Mark in Hatfield, you're on WIP. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for getting back to me. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Talking about the offense. And
yes.
I think Dallas Goedert does help open up the passing game. And the Packers are going to have to make a decision about playing one safety close to the line or playing too deep. And if they're playing too deep, then we're just going to keep throwing underneath them. And, again, that's how I think they'll open up the running game. But unfortunately for the Packers, without Christian Watson, they were a very explosive offense early in the season, but not so much lately. And I think that plays right into the type of defense that Vic Fangio is going to lead us. And that's why I don't think their offense is going to have a great day either.
Yeah, we could be seeing – thank you for the call, Mark. We could be seeing one of those 21-17 games on Sunday. You know, that, I think it could be.
31-17.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, the Packers' offense won't look good. The Eagles' offense had better look good.
You are borderline. You are way too confident.
I'll just say it.
By the way, so this was from 2019. There was a – speaking of Fangio and LaFleur, and there was an article in 2019 from ESPN where the author interviewed Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, and what's his name? Sean McVay.
Okay.
And asked them – who the most difficult defensive coordinator in the NFL to go up against is. Mm. This is an answer from LaFleur from 2019. There are so many guys and every system is different, but I look at Vic Fangio. Just the fronts and multiple looks you get, it's incredibly difficult. Shoot, Indianapolis last year, we knew exactly what they were going to do, and we didn't have a lot of success because they were so sound. They stuffed the run out of a two-safety defense and played extremely fast. Mm. They asked Shanahan and McVay the same thing, and who did those guys say? Vic Fangio.
Vic Fangio?
Yeah.
All right.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. John in Abington, you're on WIP. What's up, John?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's up, John?
Thanks for taking my call. So, the past few weeks we're talking about Saquon playing, which I was all for it. But I got to tell you, if I watched that game yesterday, I'd be on pins and needles the whole time. Only because it only takes one play for the guy to get hurt. And anybody else, because then you got to start 11 other guys, don't you? Got to start the offensive line, too?
You do.
Yep.
So yeah, that's
did anybody get injured yesterday? Well, I'm just wondering. Did anybody get injured for the Eagles yesterday? Did anybody get injured?
You're playing the Monday
quarterback now, Ike.
Huh?
You're playing the Monday quarterback now.
No, I'm not. Because, see, I kept the same energy for weeks. Spike, haven't I?
Yes, you have.
I've said for weeks I would have played him in the game. I wanted to break the record. I'm not playing Monday morning quarterback. I'm just telling you that I wasn't afraid of him getting injured. I understand that there was the possibility there. I understood that. I understood everybody's concern about that. And I just didn't have that concern. It doesn't mean he wouldn't have gotten injured. I'm just saying I didn't have that concern as much as others had that concern, and I would have played him yesterday. I just would have. I would have gone for the record, and I don't think he would have gotten injured. But we'll never know. It's a great hypothetical now. We'll never know.
I got you. I'm not disagreeing with you, okay? I want him to play just as much as you did.
Okay.
I could imagine, Mike Evans, he played in that game yesterday, and he broke – I mean, he didn't break it. He tied Jerry Rice's record for 1,011 times.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and got a $3 million bonus while doing it.
He got a $3 million bonus?
Because he got 1,000 yards again. Yeah.
He was still happy, and the players were happy for him.
Yes.
So the thing is, we would have loved to have seen that on the field, right, yesterday?
Yes. Yep.
So that's what I'm saying. But the only thing is, me watching that game, I'd have been on pins and needles the whole time. That's just me.
Oh, no, and the Eagles would have, too. I mean, you wouldn't have been the only one. Yeah, it would have been a lot of people that were on pins and needles.
I'm right with you, John. To me, and I know everybody looks back, and depending on what they went into the game thinking, that's what you end up thinking about on Monday. So the people who wanted them to go for the record look at how sort of like
Oh, that was
how bad the Giants were.
We could have had 200 yards in the first half, man.
So everyone sees that. But I'm with you, John. I saw the Flowers injury. I saw the Watson injury. I saw Jordan Love get hurt. I'm like, you know what, guys? I'm good. I'm glad we made the decision we get.
And AJ got hurt last year. And then we go to Tampa Bay without that guy.
Right.
So he's like one of your best
players.
That
team was in free fall before AJ even got injured. You know that team was going down the drain.
Take it easy, Ike. I agree with you. I'm not – listen.
I'm just saying was that we act like AJ getting injured. I didn't want him to get injured, but we act like that stopped the Super Bowl run last year. That team had already lost six straight games.
Look, you never know, Ike.
The team had already lost six straight games.
And listen, there was a guy on Sunday morning – with the guy that does Sundays.
Sonny Hill?
On Sunday mornings with Sonny Hill. Yeah, I'm sorry, you did say that. Yeah. I missed it. There was a guy on there that said he was a fireman for 24 years, and every day he went to work, and every day it was a challenge for him to go to work because being a fireman is not easy. And he wanted him to play. Like, he tried to put his point across with having Barkley playing.
We wanted the record. You're not going to change our minds. We wanted that record.
I get
and
it.
And I'm going to continue to speak up for the people who wanted the record, selfishly.
Listen, I like the fight. Listen, were you on that team in 04?
Yes.
Against Green Bay?
Yes.
And what happened in that game?
What do you mean? The 4th-and-26 game?
That is correct.
What happened?
So we're gonna win Sunday, and we're 2-1 against them.
Oh.
We won in 1960 and we won in 04.
Those are the only but we also
we lost in 2010.
Yeah, we lost. If Riley Cooper just knocked that ball down, right? That was the one, the interception at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. He could play a little bit of defense.
We still got a winning record against them. And the thing is, they're not going to be 100% coming into that game. And so
what I'm saying
is Jalen Hurts going to be back, and Barkley's going to be playing like Ike wants him to.
Yep.
Okay? And listen, how many yards do you think he'll get Ike Sunday?
It doesn't matter Sunday how many yards he gets.
Thank you for the call, John. Can I tell you?
I'm assuming he's going to get 100. What did he average this year? He averaged 100 and what, 20? What did he average?
Well, I mean, he had 2,000 yards. He played 16 games. So he averaged, 120? Yeah, about 120.
Okay, I expect you to get 120 Sunday then.
So last week,
yes,
we started talking about the Saquon record thing and what would happen in that final game a month ago.
Yep.
And the first day we talked about it, I was like, oh, this is fun to talk about. The second day, I was like, oh, Ike's going to kill me on this one. So we finish up Monday, and I kind of wanted to be on the air last week to talk about it. But I think we would have killed each other because there's not really a lot to – you had your point, I had mine, and here we are after it, still talking about the same stuff. Yeah. I am glad they did what they did. You wanted them to get the record.
Yes.
Look, we will never know what would have happened.
Nope, but I'm always think.
Yeah.
It's like, man, we could have had that rushing record, man.
Well, and I think it was Corey. If they do win, or it was Aaron. If they do win the Super Bowl, I'm going to say, see, told you so the entire time.
Well, yeah, you know what? Everybody's right. Yes. You're right. I'll go with everybody.
That won't be fine. All right. 2155. Oh, the Twitter question
is. Because you know what I'm going to say to you?
What?
We could have did both.
The record and the Super Bowl, right. We'll be arguing about this for 10 years. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. Twitter question. What are you more about the matchup with the Packers, nervous or confident? The number has come down a little bit.
A little bit?
Is it
under 80?
It is.
Okay.
Still 75% confident and 25% nervous.
I told you to start changing.
Yeah. You should be a little nervous. The Packers are a good team.
Yes.
I think the Eagles should win the game, but this is not – of all the – you go into this season, if we had said the Eagles would be 14-3 – I would have never in a million years thought that in the first round of the playoffs we would be playing a team as good as Green Bay. It is not – the NFC was really interesting because the first half of the year it looked like it was pretty much a dead conference. It was us and Detroit, right? San Francisco was gone this year. The Rams were not having a good season.
Nobody believed in Minnesota.
But then we look at it now, and the 7th seed is the Green Bay Packers, who were a lot of people's Super Bowl pick before the season.
Yeah.
So it is – I think it's evolved.
I think if the Eagles win the Super Bowl this year, it'll be the toughest run of any Eagles team that has made it to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
First of all, they're playing three games.
Yep.
And then when you look at the level of competition in the NFC this year, you look how these teams were really – I could see Green Bay beating the Eagles. Obviously, I'm picking the Eagles to win that game. But if you just look at the lower seeds, where's an automatic win? Washington could beat the Rams. Or is it Tampa Bay? No, they're playing Tampa Bay.
They're playing Tampa.
They're playing Tampa Bay. And then we know Minnesota could beat the Rams.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the lower seeds could win.
When you look at the potentially, and we don't know what's going to happen with injuries, but when you look at what the Eagles had to do 2 years ago to get to the Super Bowl in beating the Giants, who were...
Which I think it was the easiest road to the Super Bowl of any of the Super Bowl teams.
Yep, and the Giants and the Niners on their fifth quarterback, right, or whatever it was. And then this year, having to beat the Packers, having to beat maybe Minnesota, and then having to beat...
Detroit.
Detroit in Detroit.
Man.
They will deserve... Every part of that Super Bowl run.
Having to beat two 14-win teams. Well
15-win
teams. Well, yeah, the Lions have 15 wins. That's right. Yeah.
215-592-9494. Mike in Norristown, you're on WIP.
Hey, what do you know? What do you say?
Hey! Mikey Two-Sigs?
Huh? Two-Sigs?
Wait, is this two? No, is it Tommy Two-Sigs?
Tommy Two-Sigs.
You're just, Mikey, what do you know, what do you Mikey say, Walnuts. Mike? Yeah, yeah, different guy, different guy.
Mikey
sorry,
Walnuts,
sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, Mikey Walnuts, that's right.
Pauly Walnuts.
Yeah, easy. You got me mixed up with the Dumas.
Hey, yeah, what do you know? Yeah. Hey. All right.
I was at the game yesterday, man. It was freezing.
It looked cold.
Yeah, the Miller Lights were going down, though. They got me, though. I bought about seven of them.
Wow.
Hope you didn't drive home.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I had a driver.
All right, there you go.
But yeah, it was a great time. But the way I think it's going to go down is we beat Green Bay. I think Washington beats Tampa Bay, and then we play Washington. I think the Rams are going to beat the Vikings, and then they're going to play the Lions, and it's going to be us and the Lions. And I think we take the Lions. AFC Championship. I think it's going to be the Chiefs and the Bills. Bills beat them. Us and the Bills, we win it all. Buffalo goes 0-5 in Super Bowls.
Wow, so we're going Eagles Nation with Bills Mafia.
That, let me tell you, New Orleans.
Bills haven't been back to the Super Bowl since the 90s, right? Yeah, right?
They have not.
Yeah, they haven't been back since the 90s.
Nah.
If Eagles fans and Bills fans are in New Orleans together for a week, hide your tables, hide your alcohol.
Yeah, a lot of broken tables, yeah.
And I know New Orleans, and God bless them for what happened. Obviously, we're
My
not
goodness.
On the air.
Yes.
And you know,
so tragic.
There was an Odyssey employee, a salesperson who was one of the victims.
See the email, yeah.
25 years old. So I want to make sure when I'm talking about New Orleans, I want to
sure
be respectful of that, of course. But the partying that New Orleans has seen historically, I know they've seen a lot of partying. If they have Eagles fans and Bills fans in that city for a week, they're going to need to stock up.
I don't even know if I want to go if that's going to be the case.
I do not, actually. I'm going to see a lot of the inside of my hotel room.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going out there in that mess.
Well, my wife, Val, loves New Orleans, right? We went on vacation there a few years ago, or 5-6 years ago. She loved it. And I told her, I said, hey, if the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, we're going to end up going to New Orleans. And she's like, I'm so jealous. I was like, Val, the New Orleans experience that you're thinking of is not going to be my New Orleans experience. I'm going to be in whatever exhibition center where we're going to be to do the show.
Yep.
We'll go out to dinner with you guys, and then I will be in my hotel room. Yeah. Every other minute.
We got to do one media party.
One media party.
Yeah, one media party.
All right.
Kick it with the common folk.
Yes. Well, that's not even the common folk. It's the
that's
media.
That's not even a common folk.
No.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. God bless fans of Philly, but I won't be anywhere near that group then. Alan Layton. In Lehighton? Where are you from?
I'm from Lehighton.
Where is Lehighton?
Lehighton is about... 15 miles north of Allentown.
Okay.
We're about 3 miles north of Palmerton, where the Vow Without an Owl played.
Okay.
High school member, Milkby.
Mm-mm. No, I don't. But 15 miles north of Allentown, I've never heard of Lee Heighton before.
Okay, well, I'm about 14 miles from where Saquon lives.
Oh, there you go.
Ah, you guys buds?
No, I don't know him. I don't know him at all.
Okay. So you're
How
worried
you guys
about...
doing?
Oh, we're killing it. Al,
yes,
how are
you're
you?
Doing a hell of a nice job. You always do.
Oh, thank
hey,
you, sir.
Hey, Ike, I'm a little older guy, and I remember you well. You're a hell of a nice player.
Yeah, some people think so.
Thank you for service,
yeah,
Ike.
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
Ike, I want to direct this to
what
you.
What was your favorite
Ike
Reese?
You and I both feel a little bit talent that Saquon didn't play. But look at it this way.
Yeah.
You got to tell me about your favorite play of mine.
Yeah,
first.
What's your favorite Ike Reese play?
Oh, hell, I don't remember that.
And it's intercepted by Ike Reese.
I'm just out of film.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
It's cold-blooded, man.
Go ahead. Yeah, well, there's no Jack. I got to do it.
Yep.
Hey, Ike.
Yes.
Don't we feel better, you and I, knowing that Saquon could have done it, as opposed to if he did play and he didn't do it, we'd feel a lot worse, wouldn't we?
There's no way that was happening.
Well, okay. Well, then you're even stronger than I am on the topic.
Well, here's the thing. Now I have the benefit of feeling even stronger about it because the game is over with, so I can say all I want. Is that he was going to break the record and he wasn't going to get injured.
Definitely wasn't going to get injured.
Exactly.
Right around for 300 yards.
Exactly. Yep. Yes.
Are we still on?
Yeah. All
right. Now, as far as Green Bay.
Yes.
I'm a little nervous only because we're playing the same team twice in the same season. That's normally a little hairy, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, the second time we played Washington, we lost to them when we beat them the first time. When you're playing the same team twice in a season, I like it less when we beat them the first time. Mm-hmm. It's a gambler thing, but the revenge factor in there. Yeah, I know that, and when I say revenge, I don't mean that the Packers have been sitting around for 5 months worrying about beating the Eagles. But
right.
They could have won that game. I mean, there were certain... you know, moments that happened that they could have won that game. And I think, I don't want to play them a second time, and I don't want to play a team the second time that I beat the first time.
Let me tell you, I've been on both sides of this.
Oh, yeah. What's it like from a player standpoint? Thank you for the call, Al.
Lost to the Giants 3 times in 1 year. In 2000. They beat us in the regular season. I think 2 close games. They beat us in the regular season. And then we went up there and played them in the divisional round.
Yep.
And we gave up the opening kickoff for a touchdown. They scored a special teams touchdown and a defensive touchdown. They beat us without scoring an offensive touchdown.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Who's that on? Is that on you?
Well, yeah, I'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah, that was on me. Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. Especially if you've seen a highlight. He did run right past me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ron Dixon. Never forget that play. But, yeah, so I was on that side of it where we lost to the Giants. We thought, yeah, we get them in the second round. They've already beaten us twice. There's no way we're losing to a team 3 times in 1 year. Yeah, that happened. And then 1 year, the year we lost to Tampa in the NFC Championship game, we played them in the regular season, beat them, and then they beat us in the title game.
In the playoffs, right.
I think the year that we went to the Super Bowl in 2004, we played Minnesota in week 2, beat them, but then beat them again in the playoffs.
It
kind of works. And I think Green Bay beat us twice the year we lost to the one we were talking about earlier.
In 2010.
Yeah, because then they beat us that first game.
I think they
did. First game of the season, yeah.
And I think, it's funny, too, because that game, the Eagles-Packers game this year, seems like it was 100 years ago.
It does.
The Eagles were a different team at that point. So I don't know. I know they'll go back and watch it. I don't know what you can glean from that if you're the Packers. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably more – you're going to get more from watching tape of them from the last 10 weeks than that particular game.
We were a much worse tackling team at that time. Remember, Josh Jacobs ran all over us.
All over us,
yeah.
Yep. And we're throwing the ball. I mean, we threw the ball a ton in that game.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Donovan McNabb will join us next. Want to hear what Five has to think about Tanner McKee? I know he's gonna get political on me right away. He's gonna say, "No, I'm not saying." I'm like, "Just tell me how Tanner McKee played." Five. All right. Donovan joins us next. We're Chickies in South Philly. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.